Welcome to 1224, a ministry of Worship Transforms, where we want to empower you to live your best life through biblical inspiration and through connecting with Jesus in at least 12 minutes of meditative worship. All right, why 12 minutes, you ask? Well, because research shows that meditating on a good God for at least 12 minutes has the ability to form new neural pathways in your brain. Well, that just means new ways of thinking that align with the one you're meditating on. And then if we combine that with another activity that has the ability to form neural pathways in our brain, like music, well, it helps to make those pathways stickier or more entrenched, so they're more likely to stay around and not just disappear. It's like accelerating the transformation that God is already doing in your lives as we partner with Him. Hey, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel. We don't want you to miss out on any of these videos as you partner with God for His transformation in your life. How many of you like to visit model homes? I know I do. It's so fun to see the new trends and to see everything looking so perfect and the homes always so beautiful. But there's something different about visiting a model home and living in one, or living in a model home and then remodeling your house. That was something actually we did, and it took about 8 months. We took the house down to the studs, and when that was finished, it looked pretty shiny and new, and it was, until we lived in it. And now you see evidence of us living in it, and now 2.5 years later, it doesn't look quite as shiny and new. And you can see evidence of the Amazon package that maybe got left on the counter, or our daughter's homework, or maybe the sourdough bread that's in the container on the counter, and maybe a little dirt in the corners, but it's lived in and we love it. It's our home. But it's kind of like when we read the word, it's like a little bit like visiting a model home. I mean, it looks really perfect. It's great. There's so much wisdom and truth and the ability to change our lives. But really, for the word to have the effect that it's intended to have, we need to dwell in it. We need to meditate on it. We need to really live in the word. Colossians 3:16 says this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Isn't that interesting? I'm gonna read the first part of that again. This is again Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you." And then the whole thing after that is the way that we let it richly dwell. It's the modifiers, if you will. The way that we let the word richly dwell in us, this is the key, don't miss this, is by singing songs, by singing hymns, by singing psalms. Those are three actually distinct things. And by doing that, we are allowing the word to get in us. We are letting it richly dwell in us. And we are dwelling in the word. And then it has the ability to transform us, to change the way we think. It's so important in doing that, different than when we just read, because music has a way of attaching to our emotions, right? I was at a concert recently and the music was so beautiful and it often brought me to tears. I just can't help it. It touches this place deep within in our emotions. So when we connect the word to music and then in worship with God, it connects to our emotions. And it's so important that we do that because we need the word to touch all those hidden places in our lives, all those hidden places in our heart that we may not have even been aware of that needed healing, that needed attention, that needed the touch of Jesus. I have a dear loved one who's going through dementia right now, and it's a brutal disease. I'm sorry for any of you who have loved ones going through that. But it's been really interesting, this particular facet, because There's really no memory there anymore, certainly no short term, and just a few key memories remain, mostly from growing up or a few loved ones. But if something happens, if there's an event that happens that causes anxiety, like intense anxiety, or maybe anger or humor, there's a lot of laughter, then that particular memory seems to stay around. Because see, our emotions hit this part of our brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is what's responsible, or plays a large part in forming memories. Emotions attach with our memories. So when we connect the Word of God with our emotions, well, it has the ability to stay with us. As we hide His Word in our heart, it remains with us, especially when we let it connect with the emotional part of who we are. So as we look to let the Word of God richly dwell in us, or as Psalms 27, verse 4, David, who talked about wanting to dwell in the house of God. When we think about the Word of God being his house, in a sense, what really John in the first chapter talks about Jesus being the Word, right? He was Word in the flesh. And we understand that when we dwell in that place, dwelling in his house, that Word gets in us and we dwell in the Word. And so as we begin to worship, I want to make sure we don't miss this, that we're not just hearing dead words, right? Or we're not just focusing on dead words. This is the Word of God. This is Him manifested. But also, there is a personal word that He wants to speak to you in this. And we're going to be able to hear His voice a little clearer. And there's an individual message that He has for you today as we dwell and we rest in Him. Jesus, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to be with you. As we approach our time today, would you bring us into your heart? Your Word. You are the Word. May it richly dwell within us. May your voice richly dwell within us.
became flesh. What was written came to life. The word has a name.
With you here in your temple, I want to dwell with you. Has a name. today and all that you do, knowing just how much Jesus loves you.